It's the final countdown.
Jonathan Charles.
And welcome to the show, which is all about the warm, crackly sound of vinyl. We're all about Eurovision over the next hour.
Thank you.
You can't have a show about Eurovision in Eurovision Week without having a blast of ABBA. All the songs today are linked to Eurovision. ABBA, the Swedish entry, were the big winners of the contest in 1974 in Brighton. Waterloo became a global hit and launched their international career, number one in the UK charts. And we heard another of their major successes, SOS, number six in the UK charts in 1975. Max, are you a fan of ABBA?
Yeah, I mean, I've always quite liked ABBA. But once again, like with a lot of artists, I sort of just ignore them until Eurovision season.
But why? They're fantastic. I know you're a big fan of Eurovision.
I mean, I just quite like it. If 1 year you feel like seeing Max Charles' sarcastic Eurovision comments, feel free to give me a follow on Twitter.
And what do you like about Eurovision?
Sitting there, the big Eurovision party, whilst constantly tweeting funny things. That's basically just how our Eurovision nights work.
What about the music?
I just think it brings so many people together, just great music all under one roof from around Europe.
Now, without Eurovision, ABBA would not have had such a stellar career.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. Before that, weren't they just some mild success?
They were doing well in their own country, in Sweden and Scandinavia, but not really at all known beyond that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big step for them, wasn't it, going on Eurovision and then winning?
Yeah, Waterloo sold 6 million copies. I remember watching them perform in 1974. I remember watching the programme on television that night, the Eurovision Song Contest. They were amazing, completely different to anything I'd seen before in the Eurovision contest.
Well, Dad, you won't believe this, but I don't remember sitting there in 1974.
You weren't even born.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, previously, most Eurovision songs had been dramatic ballads. That was the standard sort of Eurovision fare. And then suddenly Waterloo came along and it was a proper pop song.
Yeah, I mean, look at other Eurovision songs. I mean, you have like Volare, not the Dean Martin version. And then that really weird song from either the 60s, 70s or 80s. I honestly don't remember when it was, but that one where the chorus was just them saying Eurovision, Eurovision.
That is a very strange song. Now, SOS, that second ABBA song, was also a fantastic piece of production, that second song we played. It's like a wall of sound, isn't it? Layers of sound.
Yeah, I mean, it's just got like so many different ideas within one song, and I really love that creativity. Like, you've got this sort of slightly more dark, meaningful verse, and then you've got this very exciting, lively chorus, and I love that.
That was quite often the case with ABBA, actually. A lot of their songs, you know, are quite melancholy in a way, but then they beef it up with the most amazing music.
I mean, not quite with Waterloo.
Not quite with Waterloo, although Waterloo's a strange song as well, because that's they use the battle, really, as an analogy for a romantic relationship.
Yeah. I think today we played the English version, but actual Eurovision, it was in Swedish.
Yes, I'd probably do better in English. So we watch Eurovision every year in our house, don't we? It is, as you say, an amazing event, a great way to spend the evening.
Yeah, I mean, every year we've got the Vinyl Countdown Eurovision party sitting at home, mostly just in our phones tweeting sarcastic things about people ruining songs.
What I think is strange about Eurovision, though, it's hard to imagine a winner as big as ABBA these days. You know, we haven't really had another winner like that.
I don't know, though. Have we not?
Well, I think they are undoubtedly the biggest success of Eurovision.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Nothing else has really...
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose since Bucks Fizz, you know, they were fairly successful. There have been a few others, but no one as consistent as ABBA, who had number one after number one.
So, basically, Eurovision is a blessing but also a curse if you win.
So, those Eurovision winners, ABBA, at the time of their greatest success in the 1970s, Benny and Bjorn from the group said their breakthrough had put Europe on the map for the music industry.
I think it's very healthy for the music industry that they realize that it doesn't have to be American or Australian or English. Mm. I mean, the English-speaking countries to make a good record, so that they can have their eyes upon Spain or Italy or Sweden or Norway.
Yes, because before, you know, they actually just threw the tapes away. They never listened to it. A lot of people never did.
Making your mind up. You gotta turn it on, and then you gotta You're making your mind up.
Yeah.
You never know.
Another of those great Eurovision acts from the past decades, the 1981 winners of the contest. Bucks Fizz did it with Making Your Mind Up, a song that reached the UK number one spot. Then we had Land of Make Believe, their second number one at the start of 1982. Max, Bucks Fizz are very Eurovision.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Making Your Mind Up. Like, it's just got, it's loads of fun. And there's a reason why it won Eurovision, I guess.
And it starts with that drumming, which really gives it a lot of energy, doesn't it?
Yeah, also, didn't they do that thing where they, like, stripped halfway through or
something? Yeah, actually, one reason I think they won is they were a very good onstage act. Famously, the two male singers whipping the skirts off the two female singers while performing at Eurovision, revealing another outfit underneath. But it was very, very skillfully done.
Yeah, I mean, that was very well done. But then I don't really like Land of Make-Believe.
Why don't you like Land of Make-Believe?
It just sounds like I've taken a lot of, I don't know, heroin or something, and then tried to listen to a song.
It's an interesting song because it was supposed to be an attack on Margaret Thatcher's government, a coded attack, the writer said.
Well, I mean, it was just very trippy. It feels very drugged up, which is why I don't really like it that much.
It's a more serious song, isn't it, than Making Your Mind Up?
Yeah, Making Your Mind Up sort of very playful. That one's a bit more thoughtful.
You know, Bucks Fizz were only formed a couple of months before the 1981 Eurovision, Max. So, you know, put together to be the British entry. They weren't really a pop group before that.
That's actually quite a good story, but well, they became a pop group afterwards, as we know.
And you wouldn't have known, actually, they hardly played together before when you first saw them. I remember seeing them first time doing Making My Mind Up and thinking, actually, that was really, you know, pretty slick.
Yeah, honestly, I would kill to go to Eurovision. That would be a dream.
Would it? Okay, well, they went on, Bucks Fizz, to be one of the biggest selling British acts of the 1980s, so Eurovision certainly worked for them.
Well, I mean, it's worked for a lot of people. ABBA, Alexander Rybak, but then it didn't work for him because he did terribly a few years ago.
Yeah, we'll be playing him a little later on as well. Did you know the Eurovision Song Contest has been held every year since 1956?
Yes, I did.
Did you? That's a long, long time, isn't it?
I mean, soon they'll be coming up on 70 years.
It was founded to symbolise cooperation between European countries after the Second World War, and that was the thought around it.
I just realised, realistically, within my lifetime, and potentially within yours, there is a chance that we will live to see the 100th Eurovision.
That means we've got to sit through about another 30-odd.
Yeah.
Now, more than 50 countries, Max, have taken part more than once.
Well, I mean, obviously, haven't countries taken part multiple times?
Well, and not all of them, of course, you know, because when it started, it was only a few countries.
I forgot. I think it's Ireland that's won the most times, isn't it?
They've certainly won a lot. Yeah, they've certainly won a lot. Israel have won quite a few times. The British have not done too badly, but not recently.
Well, not recently. They haven't won since 1990-something.
Yes, 1997, wasn't it? Katrina and the Waves, who will be playing them later on as well. I think it's amazing how many different Eurovision pop facts you can come up with.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I'm just like, it's random general knowledge, and that's my specialty in this world.
And random Eurovision general knowledge.
Yeah, give me some sort of incredibly easy Eurovision question that I could probably ask.
How many times have Sweden won?
Not enough.
They've won quite a few times, though. It wasn't just with ABBA. Well, Max, you're going to be back later with more on one of our artists. Let's go upbeat now with some records, all on today's Eurovision theme, all on vinyl.
It's the Vinyl Countdown. Disco action! We'll be right back.
feel-good song, if ever there was one. Their big 1985 hit single, Walking on Sunshine, and their link to Eurovision, well, Katrina and the Waves won as the British entry 12 years later in 1997 with Love Shine a Light. It went on to be their biggest UK success. And this was the 1978 Eurovision winner, very big in discos at the time. From Itzhak Cohen and the Alpha Beta, Israel's first win in the Eurovision Song Contest, and they go on to win many more times. This is Jonathan Charles. On the way, we've got more from ABBA, as well as Sandy Shaw, Olivia Newton-John, and many others. We're exploring the phenomenon of Eurovision.
The best sound around.
It's the Vinyl Countdown.
With music just for you, Jonathan Charles.
Eurovision group, so we can't possibly ignore their contribution to disco, ABBA's 1978 top five hit, Gimme Gimme Gimme, A Man After Midnight. And this is the only ABBA song to have been officially released as an extended disco mix, Massive in Clubs, in 1979.
We go again, we know the stars.
Voulez-Vous, the only ABBA song to be recorded outside Sweden. They did it in Miami and used the disco group Foxy as backing singers. Max is going to be back shortly, right after the triple play. All linked to Eurovision, all on vinyl.
It's the Vinyl Countdown!
1967!
Say that you care. If you say you love me madly, I gladly be there, like a puppet on a string. Love is just like a merry-go-round, with all the fun of the fair. One day I'm feeling down on the ground, then I'm up in the air. Leading me on, tomorrow will you be gone? I wonder if one day that you say that you care. If you say you love me madly, I gladly be there, like a puppet on a string. Then I'll lose on the swings. In or out, there is never a doubt, just who's pulling the strings. I'm all tied up in you, but where's it leading me to? Yes, say you love me madly, I gladly be there, like a puppet on a string. I wonder if one day that you say that you care. If you say you love me madly, I gladly be there, like a puppet on a string. Like a puppet on a string.
1975.
Maybe.
was the Vinyl Countdown Triple Play, all Eurovision winners. First, we heard British singer Sandy Shaw with Puppet on a String, the very first UK winner and a number one chart hit in 1967. Then it was the Dutch turn to taste success. The group were Teach In and the song was Ding A Dong. Finally, we heard Fairy Tale from Alexander Rybak, the 2009 winner. Max, you're back in the studio. You've been finding out more about Alexander Rybak.
Alexander Rybak was a Belarusian-Norwegian singer, composer, violinist, pianist, and actor. In his 20s, he was hugely popular in Scandinavia and Eastern Europe. He's known for his involvement in Eurovision. Representing Norway, he won the 2009 contest with 387 points, which is the highest score that Norway has ever achieved. The song was one that we just heard, Fairy Tale. He remains the youngest solo male winner of Eurovision. He was just 23 when he won the contest. Since then, he has appeared many times as an entrant again in 2018, and then as an interval act in 2012 and 2016. The song Fairy Tale is often voted as the all-time favourite Eurovision song.
I think that's a great song, Max.
Yeah, I just think it's like, it's just got so much character to it. Like, it's got these slightly more thoughtful sections, and then it just like erupts into this great powerhouse. That's exactly what I want. It's perfect.
He's a proper musician as well, isn't he? You can tell that from the violin playing.
Yeah, like, obviously he's incredibly talented.
Classically trained musician.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say if you're that good, then it helps.
So just before Alexander Rybak, we also heard the Dutch group Teach In, who won in the mid-70s with Ding A Dong. Is that your favourite Eurovision tune of all time, out of all of those we've heard today?
Honestly, it's between Fairy Tale and Ding A Dong. Like, Ding A Dong is just so catchy, and it's one of those Eurovision songs I'd quite like to go back to.
We've still got a couple of Eurovision entries to finish on today.
First, how about you follow us on Instagram and Twitter for our live Eurovision watch-along. On Twitter, we're at VinylCountdown10, and on Instagram, we're at VinylCountdownPodcast.
So let's play out with not one, but two Eurovision tracks. We have the 1982 UK entry, One Step Further from Bardo. And first, the one that lost out to ABBA in 1974. It's Olivia Newton-John, Long Live Love. See you next time with another box of great vinyl.
Bye.
Long, long live love. To ya, glory, glory, hallelujah. Long, long live love, as long as we live, living for giving. Long, long live love.
The Vinyl Countdown.